Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house this morning. What do y'all think of the sunshine on a Sunday morning? A novel concept, right? Let me break this down for you. Sunday, April 1st, Easter Sunday, snow. April 8th, snow. Sunday, April 15th, snow. Last Sunday, April 22nd, no snow but rain. Today, April 29th, Sunday with temps in the 70s. Praise God for that. As always, we'd like to invite everyone to please sign the friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it on for your neighbors. If you're a first-time visitor this morning to Berry Christian Church, we'd like to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to honor your presence with a small gift that Lana will bring to you where you're seated, if you'll simply raise a hand to let us know where you're seated. Any first-time visitors, please raise your hand. Right up here in the front. Good morning, sir. Thank you very much for being here. If anybody would like some additional information about our congregation and ministries, there's a little tan-colored information page inside the bulletin that you can fill out and place in the offering tray later in the service. Ladies, please also know that the men of Berry welcome you to attend a Mother's Day thank you brunch that the men are hosting on Saturday, May 5th, from 10 o'clock a.m. to 11:30. We do need an RSVP, and we'd like to have that today if at all possible, so please, there's a little RSVP page inside the bulletin, if you would fill that out and place it in the offering tray so we can have an idea of how much food to prepare. Again, that's next Saturday, May 5th, from 10 to 11:30. We also want to remind the ladies of the church about the Church Women United May Friendship Day, which will be held here at Berry this coming Friday, May 4th, from 9:30 to 1:30. There is a sign-up sheet in the back if you could fill that out, if sign up for that event. Regarding our youth, we're interested in hearing about any upcoming graduations so we can honor this year's graduates on Sunday, May 20th. If you could please convey the information about your graduates and your family to us in a church office in the near future, that would be appreciated. Any youth interested in attending the summer camps at Tall Oaks need to contact the office ASAP. The early bird registration deadline is very near. We also want to remind everyone that next Sunday, May 6th, we will have our May potluck lunch immediately following this service at noon, followed by our May board meeting. Also on Saturday, May 12th, from 8:30 until about noon, we'd like to encourage men and women to please help with a cleanup day for the parsonage and also for cleanup of the church's numerous flower beds. We have some cleaning supplies available, but more is always helpful. And also, tools for the flower bed would be appreciated as well. Everyone's assistance is certainly appreciated, as the more hands we have, the more quick and easy the work will become. All right, do we have any other announcements this morning? Andrew.
Please rise for the call to worship. In our union with Christ Jesus, God raises us up with Christ. The extraordinary greatness of His grace and the love He showed us in Christ Jesus. Let us sing hymn number 272, stanzas 1, 3, and 5.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ our Lord. We are His new creation by water and the Word. From heaven He came and sought us to bathe His only bride. With His own blood He bought us, and for our life He died. Through with a scornful wonder, the world sees us oppressed by schisms rent asunder by heresy's distress. Yet saints their watch are keeping, their cry goes up along, and soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song. We now on earth have union with God the Three in One, and mystics we communion with those who rest is one. Oh, happy ones and holy, Lord, give us grace that we, like them the meek and lowly, on high may dwell with thee.
May we bow in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, on this fifth Sunday of April, we give you heartfelt thanks for the beauty of sunshine and warmth of the spring season. We give thanks for another day of life, for the beauty of new growth of trees and flowers and grass around us, and for the privilege to gather in your house as your followers. Oh God, we are grateful to live in a country where we are free to worship you by choice. And indeed, we choose to worship and follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, come now that we might feel your living presence as we gather in worship and fellowship with our church family of Berry Christian Church. Bless our time in your house this morning. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship this morning. Please be seated. At this time, we'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing Strong, Gentle Children on page 511.
Strong, gentle children, God made you beautiful, gave you the wisdom and power you need. Speak in the stillness all you are longing for. Live out your calling to love and to lead.
Good morning. Look at this. Jace, you get to be up here with these three lovely ladies. Man, oh man. I want to talk about geese. Geese! Specifically, Kansas City geese. Have you ever paid too much attention to our geese around here? They're kind of funny looking, aren't they? They got short little legs and kind of floppy feet. And their bodies got kind of fat little bodies. But you know what? These geese are very proud to be geese. I'm telling you, they walk around and they just have an attitude and they're like, yep, I'm a goose. God made me. And I'm happy. And they have no trouble walking right out in front of you when you're driving down the street. As a matter of fact, I think sometimes they sit on the side and they watch for a car. And they go, okay, they're coming. Come on, let's go now, now, now. Because they know we're not going to run over them, don't they? I know. You know what? I want to be like a goose. Do you want to be like a goose? No. Well, see, I want to be brave like those geese. I want to be brave and I want to be bold and I want to walk around and I want to go, yep, I'm a Christian and God made me and I'm happy and come join me. That's what I want to be like, just like those geese. Just like them. You don't think that's a good thing to be like a goose?
I don't want to.
I'm having a hard time convincing children today that they want to be geese. I'm telling you what. What you got, Jace? Oh. So, well, I think being brave and bold, it tells us in the Bible to be brave, to be bold, to not be ashamed. So, I think being just brave like those geese is a good thing to do. Shall we have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, please help us be brave and bold in our faith. Help us to share it with others and to never be ashamed to be a Christian. We pray that each and every day that we show everyone we meet what our faith is all about and how great it is to be a Christian. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we go to God in prayer this morning, we certainly noticed a number of the children missing from Children's Church because the Jacobo family is ill. Sounds like Michelle and three of the children have got that stomach flu going around, so keep them in your prayers. Rosemary Barnes is at St. Luke's on the Plaza. Again, more health concerns with regard to a heart attack she had about a little bit over a week ago. And one of Rosemary's sons, Michael, has been in the hospital over at North Kansas City, but he is now home as of yesterday. So praise God for that. Luella Scott's daughter, Joellen Foreman, just underwent a surgery to remove a tumor and one-third of her pancreas. That was Friday of this past week at the Menorah Medical Center. The surgery was a good success, making some progress with healing now. So please keep Joellen in your prayers. Sheila Killian will be having a visit with the Barnes Jewish Hospital in St. Louis 24th through the 27th of June. So please keep her in your prayers as, again, she's dealing with these significant respiratory concerns. Betty Sillen is home but in hospice care. Freddie Nichols is still at Linden Woods. We lift up Jerry Donahue's nephew, Joy Phillips, of Carlisle, Arkansas. Again, Peggy and Jerry Treese, remember them in the midst of their recovery from knee surgeries. John and Dorinda Hoke, we've been lifting them up in prayer. Again, May the 7th is when John will begin chemotherapy and radiation-type treatments for that tumor that he had behind his right eye. Roger and Barbara Blakely, again, we praise God that they were in worship with us again at the early service for three Sundays in a row now, which, given the fact that they'd not been able to worship with us for over a year, that's been a wonderful blessing to have them with us. I think these are all the people we need to lift up today, so may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, it is with thanksgiving and praise that we worship your holy name this fifth Sunday of this season we call Eastertide. As we have explored the stories of your Son's presence among his believers while he was in his resurrected form, we rejoice in the truth that followers like Simon Peter and Thomas and James, the half-brother of Jesus, were all significantly transformed from skeptics and doubters into confirmed believers. People of faith convicted to carry forth the gospel message, even to the point of martyrdom. Even as Jesus' disciples experienced so many wondrous miracles that your Son performed, we realize, O God, how easy it was for them, as it can be for us, to doubt the power that your Son offers or the power that your Holy Spirit offers. For we remember, O God, how exasperated Jesus was when the disciples were unable to heal the child who was burdened with an evil spirit. And Jesus exclaimed to his disciples, "How believing you people are, unbelieving you people are. How long must I stay with you? How long do I have to put up with you?" As he asked the Father to bring the Son to him so that he may be freed from the evil spirit's burden. Yet as we contemplate the disciples' hesitant and doubtful response to the Son's need, we realize too that we so often question the spiritual abilities that your Spirit desires to empower us with. Like the Father, we, O God, at times want to exclaim, "Help our unbelief." And so as we embark upon this new week, we do seek out your desire to abide with us in a most unique and wondrous way, that our lives may be instruments of your loving compassion and grace through all we do and say. It is in the name of Christ our Lord that we seek your guidance this day, as we also recite the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Phil, you have our scripture reading again this morning. Thank you.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, verses 24 through 29. You may find this on the Pew Bible on page 991. But Thomas, who was also called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails on and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." This is part of the story of God as told by the people of God. Blessed be the Lord.
One other prayer concern I failed to mention a moment ago was that Patty Miller took a fall off of a chair. She was trying to reach up for something in the kitchen cabinet and fractured two bones in her right leg. So please keep her in your prayer. She normally attends the 8:30 service with her son Steve and his family. Going to an orthopedic surgeon on Tuesday of this week to try to determine what else is taking place. So we need to keep you all healthier, don't we? We need to pray for everyone's health, don't we? Goodness sakes. Our communion hymn this morning, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, is a stalwart hymn that's brought comfort to many people for many decades. And although it's now believed that the story may, in fact, be just a myth, the story for a long time has gone on that at one time, Pastor Augustus Topladay took refuge from a thunderstorm under the outcropping of a massive rock formation that actually exists in North Somerset, England. And the story goes that as he was under that outcropping, sheltered from the thunderstorm, he was inspired to write the words, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. And from that point, it goes on that he wrote the verses in such a way that we recognize that Christ is the one from whom our sins are given that double cure, and that we are saved from wrath and made pure. Verse after verse, many a believer has found great comfort in the words of this hymn, whether the tale of inspiration is true or not. But what is certainly certain is the fact that Augustus Topladay did not live very long. He actually died in the year 1778 at the young age of 38 years. He died from tuberculosis, one of the many illnesses of that era that took people in the prime of life. Topladay never married, and his life and ministry as a pastor were indeed cut very short. But his legacy seems to be everlasting as generations upon generations have been inspired by this hymn, in which we are drawn ever closer to Christ, who is indeed that rock that is a rock of our salvation. So it is in a spirit of preparation that we turn to our hymn number 214, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, as we sing stanzas 1 and 4, please.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
And as we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as David leads us in a word of prayer.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we come to the end of the season known as Eastertide, we pray that our focus is past the cross, but we look at the empty tomb. We celebrate a risen Lord. He has saved us from death itself with his sacrifice. At this Lord's table, we feel his love for all of mankind. We pray that you will bless this loaf and the cup and strengthen us with his love. For these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Spring is a wonderful time of year to consider the wonder and power of something so very small and apparently simple. Seeds. Some of you may have been about the business of planting a few of them during these warming days of the coming spring season. Aren't seeds just a miraculous creation of God? So small and compact, yet filled with the great potential of being the beginning of a mighty oak tree or a grand redwood that can last for centuries. Or be that simple tomato, carrot, or cucumber that you're hoping to enjoy in just a few weeks from now. Seeds are how we should also think about our weekly tithes and offerings before God. In the grand scheme of things, what we have to offer may seem rather small, but in truth they can be seeds of faithfulness through which God can create new possibilities for ministry that is beneficial for generations. We consider these thoughts as Michelle offers a word of prayer and as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Let us pray. Father, may these gifts bring happiness and encouragement and offer hope to those who need it most. Help us choose to make a difference in our lives by making a difference in the lives we touch through our offerings today. We thank you, Father, for all that we are and for all that we have. Please bless these gifts and the givers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Is used for your glory and purposes now and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. We want to extend a word of praise and celebration to you, Perla, as you celebrate a rather significant milestone this weekend, right? Praise God. Oh, well, thank you. Delighted that you're here. Brought some of that Texas weather with you, too, I see. Right? Well, congratulations, Perla. Do we dare say what decade it is? Most people know. Do we dare say what decade it is? She doesn't care. So she hit the 80 mark, right? Praise God. Yeah. So congratulations, Perla. God bless you. Anyway, but thank you. I'm sorry, what? Oh, okay. Well, wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you for coming. Thank you. May we have a word of prayer. Lord God, we do give thanks for the day and the privilege to be in your house and to experience the joy that comes as we let go of doubt and embrace your truths. It is in Christ's name that we give thanks. Amen. Doubt, it's a feeling or a lack of conviction about someone or something. And as we continue this series of messages here during this season we call Eastertide about the resurrected appearances of Jesus, we can't do a series like this without mentioning who? Doubting Thomas. Now, you know, I really think that Thomas got the bad rap. Because the truth of the matter is that Thomas, as we've already seen through the other sermons that I've been offering over this series since Easter, Thomas was not the only one who doubted who Christ was or whether or not he had resurrected from the grave, right? Remember last week, the women come rushing back from the tomb and they greet the 11 disciples. And of course, the text tells us that there are even other followers there. And did they believe the testimony of the women? No. Remember, they were so filled with their own skepticism and doubt that the text tells us that they said that the women's words were what? Nonsense. But again, it's a lot heavier in the Greek, where we understood that the Greek word here, only used at one time in the Bible, says that their words were like the babble of a half-wit. Now, that's pretty pathetic way of talking about the ladies, isn't it? You know? We remember also that James, Jesus' elder half-brother, and the other three brothers, and we knew there were also sisters, that they doubted that Jesus was the Messiah so much that they thought he was probably mad, and they wanted to corral him in and, you know, take him over so that he wouldn't be a problem for society. You remember that? We talked about that early on in this section of messages. And in the pastoral prayer, again, we see doubt on the part of the disciples. Here, a father brings his son, whom he thinks is filled with an evil spirit. Again, probably something like epilepsy or something of that sort. This is in Mark's Gospel, the 9th chapter. The father, in his own humility, he doesn't bring his ailing son to Jesus. He goes first to whom? The disciples, you know, the underlings, the followers, because he doesn't want to bother the Messiah. He goes first to them. He says, here's the problem. Will you heal my son? And of course, they're unable to, because they doubt even their own ability to have the kind of power and authority, healing presence, that Christ wanted to offer his disciples. And as he even makes hints to that on several occasions. And we know that Jesus is so frustrated with the inept ability of the disciples that in that text we see Jesus declares, well, you know, how long should I have to put up with you? How unbelieving you are. And how much longer must I stay? Trying to teach you. You know, so again, it sounds like that parent trying to say to the child one more time about cleaning up the room or some sort of familiar tasks that are supposed to be done in the household. How many times do I have to tell you? If I've told you this once, I've told you this 1,000 times, right?
That's how frustrated Jesus is with the doubtful behavior going on here among all the disciples. And yet, why does Thomas get the bad rap? I think it's because he's just more vocal about his expression than the others are. You know, the others are doubting, but they just kind of keep it in a muddled tone among themselves. Here, what happens with Thomas is, first of all, he's not with the disciples in that first appearance of Christ in the room where they had been in hiding. Why? Well, I have a feeling he just decided that the way to deal with his own grief was to do so privately. So he just isolated himself. And some folks just do that, right? And to some extent, he really missed out because he was not present with the other disciples. I really believe that Thomas was filled with profound grief at the loss of Jesus. In fact, I really believe that Thomas was indeed a fierce follower of Christ. We see this in John's gospel. It's at the point where Jesus had gotten word about Lazarus' death, and he was a distance away from Bethany. And Jesus says, okay, I'm going to Bethany. And you'll see that Lazarus is asleep. And yet, the disciples are afraid for Jesus because he had been talking about how if Jesus went back to Jerusalem, again, he was going to face a lot of trouble, right? They were fearful for his life. They didn't want him to go to Bethany because that's too close to Jerusalem. And yet it is Thomas who declares in John chapter 11, verse 16, "Let us all go along with the teacher so that we may die with him." Now that is a fierce declaration. Yet with Jesus' death, Thomas, I think, is so filled with grief that he's lost in himself. And he's not only grieving, but he's lost in his own thoughts. So much so that he fails to even remember all that Jesus had said, all the promises that Jesus had made about the fact that, yes, he would be handed over to sinful men, he would be crucified, but on the third day, what? He would raise to life again. Remember, we talked about in Matthew's account, that proclamation is made 5 different times, right? You think they would get it after the first or second set of words, right? Well, anyway, that's the way we think about our kids, though. We think if we'd give them the instructions 2 or 3 times, maybe they'll get it, right? Do they get it? No. Wives, you know how your husbands are. You've been telling them that same thing for how many decades? Do they get it? No, we get caught up in our own stuff. Yes, honey, I know. I really think the real burden for Thomas is he was so caught up in his own thinking, he was failing to remember what Christ had said in the prophecies. But you know, when it comes to doubt, there are many people today who claim that they doubt the existence of God, and they have all kinds of ways to give some sort of proof to their notion that God does not exist. Remember, even with Adam and Eve, Eve was in the garden, confronted by Satan in the form of the serpent. Eve spells out the instructions given by God, but we can't eat the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. If we do, we'll die. What does Satan say? That's not true. You won't die. Again, he puts a wedge of doubtfulness into Eve's thinking. Oh, well, wait a minute. Maybe what God said isn't true. Maybe I can eat the fruit. And of course, then she looks at it. We're talking about this in Sunday school, about how when you know, we are tempted by our senses. Like, we know we see the fruit, the text says, saw how luscious it was, what how wonderful it would be to eat it, right? You see? Still getting caught up in one's mind and one's own motivations, one's personal, selfish motivations. I believe a lot of people doubt the existence of God because they're caught up in their own ego. Their ego that says, my way of thinking is certainly better than anything else. I've got it all figured out. And you'll have people who will say, oh, I think this God's all fake business here. Because, you know, after all, why would a loving God have his son crucified on a cross? I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense in your Western world. But the truth of the matter is, you don't understand that time and time and time again, God chose to work in the context of human society as it existed at the time. For centuries, there had been sacrifices offered up to gods. The God of the Hebrew people just took up a model that had already been in existence. He used that model to his advantage by creating a sacrificial system. But when Christ came on the scene, God was saying, my son will be the final, final sacrifice. There will be no more sacrifices from this point on. Christ is the avenue through which your sins are forgiven. You see, God was just using a method of the time. But yet we, in our own arrogance, we doubt God's plan, God's model, God's design, thinking that somehow in our mind's eye, our thoughts are more superior than the declaration that's given to us by God Almighty. So, Thomas is in fact, he's just caught up in his own head and his own grief to the point that he declares to the other disciples as he is there in that room again a week later, unless I can put my hand in his wounds of his hands, which actually were the wrist, unless I can put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe anything you've said. I doubt your testimony. And what is really striking, I think it's just as he's getting the words out of his mouth, the text tells us that Jesus simply does what? He just appears. Did he knock on the door? No. Did he open the door? No. He didn't need to. His power in his resurrected form is so great, he just simply, as he had done on many other occasions, we believe, he just appeared before their presence. And did Jesus go around the room? Hey, John. Hey, Andrew. How you all doing? No. He goes straight to who? To Thomas, confronts Thomas, right, face to face. Thomas, go ahead. See the wounds in my, it says hands, but again, we're talking about the wrists. Put your hand in my side. Go ahead, do that, do that. Is that what you need? I am the living proof here before your very eyes. And yet what we find out is Thomas is so profoundly humbled by the experience of the risen Christ right before him. I believe he probably went straight to his knees. The text doesn't tell us that, but I think he went down to his knees and he declares, my Lord and my God. And there is doubt no more. In fact, it's believed that Thomas was the disciple who actually went off into India. And that's how the Christian faith was actually established in that portion of the world. But for you and I, you know, yep, a lot of times we get caught up in our own skepticism. We'll doubt what the doctor's telling us. We'll doubt, you know, what an attorney is trying to tell us about how we should proceed with a certain matter. We'll doubt the advice of a beloved friend or relative, and we find our mind in a grand quandary of things as we think we can figure it all out, what, in our own head. But so often we just get what? Lost. The truth of the matter, we're just simple human beings on this planet that's ancient by our standards, right? All we need to do is let it all go and just be willing to accept the reality of the risen Christ and the joy that God wants to give us in simply releasing all our stuff and accepting Christ for who He is. You know, a wonderful text, I think, helps us understand the profound joy that is ours simply in believing. And that's why out on the sign it says, joy in believing. But it lifts up the text of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. So you rejoice with a great and glorious joy which words cannot express, because you are receiving the salvation of your souls, which is the purpose of your faith in Him. So where are you in that faith journey you have with God today? Do you find yourself doubting the truths of the prophecies, the truths of testimony that are in the Word? Or can you simply accept the truth of Christ's presence in your life? Christ, who rose from the dead, who dwelt among His disciples and other followers for 40 days in His resurrected form, so that we may know of the great power that is in Christ resurrected, that we may be also. Do you know Christ? If He's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way that I know your life can be transformed if you'll simply be humble enough to do so. Or maybe today is your day to come forward and become a part of the fellowship here at Berry Christian Church as we turn in our hymn book to our hymn of invitation, which this morning is hymn number 274. Let us stand and sing stanzas 1, 3, and 5 of I Love Your Church, O God, 274, 1, 3, and 5.
I love Your church, O God, on earth Your blessed abode. The people our Redeemer saved with His own precious blood. In love my tears shall fall, in love my prayers I send, to serve Your church my toils be given, till toils and cares shall end. Sure as Your truth shall last, to Zion shall be given, the brightest glories earth can yield, and brighter bliss of heaven.
We want to thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. And again, ladies, we do want to remind you the two events taking place later in the week. Be most helpful if you'd sign up at the back table. The women's meeting for Church Women United here at the church on Friday. And then, of course, ladies, the men are hosting a breakfast for you this coming Saturday to just say thank you and to offer a word of celebration for you for the Mother's Day time frame as it comes about. Again, that's this Saturday. But if you can just let us know that you have an interest in coming, that helps us with the count in our preparations. And also this morning, we want to lift up the fact that Lauren, we know him as Kirby, Kirby and Helen Kirby both have decided that they would like to become members of the Berry Christian Church, making a transfer of membership from First Christian Church in North Kansas City. So Kirby and Helen, God bless you both. We welcome you this morning. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you so much. Say hello to Kirby and Helen after the service. May we bow our heads in prayer. Merciful God, we do give thanks for the privilege to be in your house and to know that as we let doubt go, we will indeed find your great joy and peace. It is in the name of Christ that we give thanks as we depart. Amen. Good morning.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.